You can call me Matt Berger if you want. Been called better things, been called worse things. Got called a lot of nice things, though, last night at TMA Live out in St. Charles. I really do appreciate the people who approached me and said that they enjoy the show. I apologize. I do not remember your names because I am terrible with names. I'm really bad, especially after Big Al buys me a shot of Fireball. I'm not going to remember a whole lot after that. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who could say that. Big Al bought me this drink, and now I don't remember anything. That probably happens frequently. Matt Rocchio is behind the board, and he's also my producer. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590show, at Matt_Berger, and at Rock590. It is a hashtag Fool Friday. Joining us at 6:20 will be Nick Hand, who covers the Blues for STLSportsPage.com. At 6:40 will be Shane Young from BballBreakdown.com. 7 o'clock, our friend Kevin Brackett, film critic from RealSpoilers.com. And then at 7:20, Steve McKinstry, who is the head coach of the St. Louis Royals, who won the club's first ever national rugby championship this past Sunday. It was the last Friday we had the team manager on, and then the head coach, he's going to be joining us tonight at 7:20 to talk about the team winning the club's first ever national title. The club's been around since like 1971. It's kind of crazy to think that people in the United States have been playing rugby that long, because it seems like somewhat of a new sport, but it's not. And he's going to be on the phone with us to talk about that. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. I thought that the press conference that John Mozeliak had today was kind of interesting in the fact that he really didn't need to have one. Every move that was made today, John Mozeliak could have done. He could just send out a press release and been done with it. I mean, they didn't have a press conference when they released Jonathan Broxton. They just had a press release. Bam. Jonathan, I know it was more than just the release of Johnny Peralta. They did do some coaching maneuvering, but there were some other things too that were really interesting that John Mozeliak said. Rock, let's get to the first thing that Mo talked about. You don't have it up. Okay.
I don't have it in a chronological order now.
Oh, you don't have it in the chronological order?
No, see, that's the problem. We've been running these clips all day.
So what's the first one that's in the lineup?
All right, well, let's go ahead and just jump in right off the bat, because I thought this was one of the most interesting things from the get-go, which is Mo came out and at one point pretty much just laid down the law, especially when it came to all the people wondering if this press conference is about something bigger like Mike Matheny's job.
Yeah.
Everybody, including myself, is not in the most secure situation right now. It's, you know, expectations from, as I stated, from ownership on down are very high. And when you're underperforming, people have to make changes. Now, as far as where Mike sits, I want him to feel confident that we trust him to do his job, and we want to give him that. But we clearly need to be doing better.
Yeah, that was your warning shot right there to Mike Matheny. Like, what everybody wanted to hear about Mike Matheny being on the hot seat, there you go. That's John Mozeliak turning on the burner. And I kind of like how he threw himself out there as well, saying, hey, you know what, my job isn't exactly secure either, but I would say his job is probably a little more secure than what Matheny's is, even though he's got plenty of blame in all of this. I mean, he's the one that selected the players. It wasn't just Matheny out there, but he's made plenty of blunders. I think what Matheny's biggest problem is his stubbornness. And the other part was when he announced that they were going to be making some coaching changes as well. Do we have that one, Rock?
This is the first time in my career I've had to make an in-season personnel move from the coaching staff. And, you know, clearly when you look at the dynamics of what was going on, again, think about sort of off-season narratives, you know, base running, better defense. And, you know, a lot of the... Unfortunately, a lot of these were colliding in a negative way, and I feel like something had to be done. And the tough part about these types of decisions, you feel like you're sort of pointing at one person for mistakes. I hope everybody recognizes all of us feel responsible for where we are, and it's literally a top-to-bottom ownership of where we are. And however, you can't just blow the whole thing up. You know, you have to start somewhere. And ultimately, we felt like we had to do something different today.
So what he's referring to is that Chris Maloney, who is the Cardinals' now former third base coach, who sent more men to die than probably an Army general during the Civil War, he has been reassigned to something to be determined. Mike Schilt, who has been in charge of the team's quality control, and I'm saying that in quotations because I have no idea what the hell that's supposed to mean. He's supposed to be in charge of the quality of the team. I thought that was a manager's job, but apparently they felt like they needed to bring in Mike Schilt. Well, Mike Schilt is now the third base coach. Bill Miller, who was the assistant hitting coach, he is on a leave of absence. So they've called up the Memphis Redbirds hitting instructor, Mark Budaska, the big Buddha. He's called up to help with the batting, and Pop Warner is going to be helping with the infield defense as well. So we're going to see what kind of impact these coaching changes are going to have. But the funny thing is like all of this could have been done with the press conference or with the press release, rather. You didn't need to have a quote-unquote surprise press conference at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
That can't be his real name.
Pop Warner?
That can't be.
I would imagine Pop is a nickname.
Yes.
If
he's older than 60, then that's not his real name. I do think they could have gotten this all on a press release. I don't think that's the issue. I do think that Mozeliak is savvy with the conversation around the team, around the city, in the media and among the fans. And I think putting them in front of the media like this to get sound bites and answer questions was a smart move overall. And so I have a feeling this was less about the move and more about the mood around the team as to why they maybe took this chance to have a press conference. Well, I think that it was more, let's give a reason for Mo to get in front of the mics and answer some of these questions.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up about the mood of the team, because they did finally designate for assignment Johnny Peralta when they announced that Colton Wong was coming off the DL, Colton Wong in the starting lineup tonight. But they did designate Johnny Peralta for assignment, and here's Mozeliak on that. Oh, there's no sound on that one.
No. He designated Peralta. There's a reason why. The guy doesn't have an RBI. He doesn't have an extra base hit.
There's no myriad of reasons to release Johnny Peralta.
There's really no reason. But no one needs that one explained to them.
I got this quote from Chris Harabi on his Twitter feed. He had a conversation with Tommy Pham after Johnny Peralta was released, and I think this is a very telling quote, Rock. Let me know what you think about it. Johnny hurts. Johnny truly hurts. I was a little hurt by that. Johnny is a true pro. He shows up every day and he prepares to play. He's not part of the chess club, the ping pong club, the video game club. He's a true pro. He just shows up and does what he has to do to prepare to win a ball game. I respect that as a teammate and as a professional. That is a very telling quote right there by Tommy Pham.
Yeah, so
you heard last
they're
year
they're bummed that another one of their a guy in their locker room is gone. I mean, that's not no. I don't see how that's a surprising quote in any way.
No, I'm not. You're missing what I'm talking about. Remember last year, you heard a lot of the rumors coming out of spring training was how divided this team seems to be, and it seemed kind of weird this team would be that divided. And then you bring in Dexter Fowler, and he's supposed to be bridging a lot of those gaps because he's a fun-loving guy. He's got kind of a great personality. You could tell. Just by the way he carries himself, he's just one of those guys that everybody just truly likes. You don't hear too many bad things about Dexter Fowler as a guy. I'm talking about how Johnny isn't a part of the chess club, the ping pong club, or the video game club. I think to me that tells me that there's a lot of cliques in that Cardinals locker room, and maybe they don't exactly all get along. That maybe like they're treating this as kind of like a country club and not a true profession. That's how I'm reading it as. And maybe that's the reason why you're seeing so many sloppy mistakes out there in the field and on the base paths.
See, I'm not going to buy into that one either, because I mean guys are going to relax outside of the game, even in the clubhouse. That's the thing about baseball is I have a feeling baseball's a lot different.
I'm not saying that they show, but maybe they're doing too much of it.
No, the team doesn't have very much talent. I mean, let's say this isn't like this is a team that won. You know, yeah, sure, we can talk about, well, this team won 100 games 2 years ago. We can talk about
that team's completely different.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying this is a completely different team from then. So this team just doesn't have as much talent as previously. So I don't see why we need to find any special reason as to why they are not a good team, despite the fact of they don't have as much talent as the teams they're facing. And even when they face against crappy teams like the Phillies or I guess the Reds, you're like, well, they are actually talented to them. How are they losing? I would say because baseball's a streaky game. When you're not a very talented team, sometimes you're gonna have bad stretches against crappy teams. Even the Cubs got swept by the Padres.
Okay, but you don't think this team lacks focus? I mean, there's one thing to have a bad streak.
This team lacks talent.
When you're talking about a bad streak, that's usually like when you're hitting into tough outs. stuff like that. This team looks very undisciplined. It looks extraordinarily sloppy.
Take away them sending 10 runners to die at home, and I think maybe our perception of this team's a little bit better. And that one clearly wasn't the player's fault. By the way, we got a little heads up from Mr. Huffman a few minutes ago that the Cardinals will be making a change thanks to Iggy down at the ballpark. Here's the change coming in. Yadier Molina pulled from the lineup for today. He originally was going to be batting fifth. Tommy Pham moves up to fifth. Diaz moves up to sixth. Wong moves up to seventh. And then Eric Fryer comes in to bat four and play for Molina behind the plate. He will bat eighth right in front of Michael Wacha.
So there's your lineup change.
Your lineup change. Molina out. He was originally batting fifth and playing behind the plate. Eric Fryer's in, and he will bat eighth.
Any reason given why Molina is out?
Yadier Molina has been scratched from tonight's game with lower back stiffness.
There we go.
From the St. Louis Cardinals Twitter account.
Have a couple of texts coming in, shocked but happy. So with Mo's words, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff here. Mike has worn out his welcome long ago, in my opinion. I'm kind of with him on that one. Hulk Hogan's fanny pack. Dude, will you go team up with Bob Fesco and get lost? I guess he's talking to me. Not going to happen. I can't stand Bob Fesco. From the 314, I can't believe the co-host. That's you, Rocchio. Can't see the shots fired by Fam in that tweet. No, I think that was very telling. Very telling. David Klein of Hedonism. I really thought the announcement today was going to be that Pride Night and Christian Night at the ballpark would be hosted together.
Oh, God, that would have been hilarious.
Come on, give Dave. Yeah. That was really funny. Give it to Dave Klein. Well done, Dave Klein. Come on, we got your applause for you. Well done. Well crafted by your friend
Dave Klein.
I'm not
saying Fam wasn't taking a shot. I'm saying that the thing he's taking a shot at shouldn't matter when you're talking about professionals getting paid millions of dollars.
That's what I'm saying. He's saying they're being unprofessional.
It's not being unprofessional. You're talking about them having cliques within a group of 25 guys who have to be there for hours, who are there literally all day. There's hours before the game. Of course, there's going to be some cliques, people forming. They're going to play ping pong. They're going to play video games. I'm just wondering, what about that quote from Tommy Pham is surprising anyone? It's 25 adults. Of course, the majority of them probably aren't going to be very close friends with many other ones. They're going to have cliques of three or four guys. What's your surprising part here? That they're playing video games and ping pong and stuff? What about Fam's quote surprising to you? The fact that these guys aren't all buddy-buddy to me, or that a few of them have formed cliques, or that there's three or four cliques around, that's the least surprising thing to me.
Okay, here's what's surprising me about her. Here's the reason why I think it's a shot. Who's in that locker room?
I didn't say it wasn't a shot.
Okay.
I didn't say it wasn't a shot. I'm saying what he's taking a shot about is pointless, and it doesn't actually affect.
Well, he doesn't seem to think that it's pointless. Well, otherwise, he wouldn't have brought it up.
And I'm disagreeing with Mr. Pham.
Okay, and who's in that locker room? You or Mr. Pham?
Well, Mr. Pham is.
Okay, so that's why I'm putting a little more emphasis on what he has to say.
He's too close to a situation to your brother. There are these points where you get too close to a situation, and so you need that outside look, like somebody who hasn't been in the locker room all year. That's what we're looking at right here, Matt.
I think it's very interesting what Tommy Pham said. I do. I find that extraordinarily interesting. Because what was it at the very beginning during spring training? Was it last year when Mike Matheny, he had his leadership seminars and he only handpicked certain people to go to him? And this year it was, okay, well, now everybody can go if you want to. They're not mandatory, but if anybody wants to go, you're more than welcome to. Everybody knows that Mike Matheny has his favorites, and this is probably another example of him playing favorites.
Yeah, see, and again, that's another part that doesn't surprise me at all, is when you start talking about Matheny's favorite angle when it comes to the veterans. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Because Matheny is a big chess guy.
But again, and I was mostly kidding, but seriously, though, I mean, I understand why Tommy Pham, if he sees it as a really cliquish clubhouse, why for him that could be worrisome, and why he might think that could be the big problem. My point is that that's a player trying to find a reasoning beyond the fact that they're not that talented. And, of course, the player is never going to agree to the fact that other teams are just better than them, or the talent level on the team has dropped across the last few years. So again, I'm not saying Fam is wrong. I'm not saying he's BSing us. I'm saying is that because of the situation they're in, I'm choosing not to believe Fam in this instance, because again, they're a team that isn't that talented like they were the last couple of years, and Fam's trying to find a reason as to why they're not. And I'm sure for the guys, it's a lot easier to find an emotional reason than one that they're just not that good anymore. So that's another thing. Of course, he's going to find an emotional reason.
If you're listening to this, Tommy Pham, Matt Rocchio is calling you out. He's saying you're not that talented enough.
God, you son of a...
That's what it kind of sounded like to me, Rocchio.
I said the team as a whole, Tommy Pham is having the best season of his. You know, I hope he stays healthy, Matt Berger. Which is actually true, though, which is the rest of the team is. I mean, Tommy Pham's one of the two people who's having a better year than his career average. Like, he. That's it. That's it. It's Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham seems to think it's a reason why. I mean, he brought it up for a reason.
But of course he's going to bring up a reason beyond the fact of we're just not that good this year. But I think that's the beautiful thing is, commenters and fans, is we can throw our hands up at certain points and be like, they're just not that good this year. And
that's probably a lot of it, too, but maybe the reason why they could be playing better had they been more focused on baseball and not on video games and chess and whatever else.
What the hell makes you think that this year they're unfocused because they're doing video games and chess and
baseball?
Have
you seen this team play?
They have always done that before games. That has never not... Like, there has never not been a team that spends hours...
You're not hearing me.
Of course I'm hearing you. You're saying they're unfocused because they're playing ping pong and chess.
Maybe they're doing it too much.
Where in Pham's comment are we sussing out that they're doing it too much and that there isn't just clicks of people doing it? I'm okay with sussing out comments from what he actually said.
The whole quote about Johnny Peralta was professional. Don't you think that's kind of saying that people who are maybe playing too much ping pong, playing too many video games, playing too much chess, are being unprofessional, not taking it seriously? That's how I took it.
Okay, yeah, from that perspective, I could see
that. Okay, that's how I took it.
I also think that's ridiculous because at no point, again, this isn't Boston 2009. We're not talking about chicken and beer here with the relievers. I'm pretty sure that the Cardinals clubhouse has probably always had. There's enough veterans that know there's not the people aren't playing games too much. This is a professional clubhouse.
I don't know.
They have people who are working them out. They have coaches who are making sure they're on schedule. They're not playing games too much. This is I refuse to get into that.
I think that Mike Matheny, because he wants to be a player's manager so much, maybe he kind of has that maybe a principal kind of aura about him, but maybe he's more like the substitute teacher where you know you can walk all over him and you can do whatever you want. Let's take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com about the Stanley Cup Finals. Did the Pittsburgh basically finish off Nashville last night? That was quite a game, 6-0. That was a bit of a drubbing. But Nick Hand's going to help us break it down. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.